Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by a full house today. I've got Cody, Tracy, and Bo. I'm not even going to ask you how you're doing. I've got Karen and Matt in studio. And before Cody tells us our topic, Bo, you have a follow-up from our last episode, which was called Attention Deficit Advantage. Tell us about that, Bo.
Yeah, we had this great conversation about, you should go back and listen to it if you have not. In the middle of that conversation, we got a little confused on the founding fathers and who possibly was a participant in there. And Cody thought Abraham Lincoln and Neil Armstrong were right there, part of the original crew signing the Declaration.
Mm-hmm. And that's you, Confederates.
He was a founding father.
So in the middle of that, I had an Abraham Lincoln example, but felt like we were already too far gone. So we were chatting about it afterwards, that Abraham Lincoln's perhaps most famous speech, probably most famous speech, is the Gettysburg Address, which is 3 minutes long. And I just think that's such a great picture. There was somebody else that day who was actually giving the full speech at Gettysburg, and Abraham Lincoln was just the introductory person. And you can read that speech in 3 minutes, and yet it is the most memorable thing that perhaps he ever said. And just think that's a great picture. In fact, I just sort of jokingly said Neil Armstrong. The same thing goes for Neil Armstrong, isn't it? Like, of all the things that he said, it's often the short, portable, memorable thing that somebody said that we remember, which I actually think sort of relates to our topic today. So,
yeah, you know something, but I think we want to go back, because after the podcast ended and you said this, we were like, oh man, that was such a great example. You also mentioned the preamble to the Constitution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Length does not make it more impactful.
And as the resident historian in the group, you know, I made sure Bo knew all the players and who said what. Mm-hmm. But no, I actually loved our last episode. And then we went into, we actually practiced what we preach this whole week. Bo and I went into meetings and thought, how do we make this shorter? And what's the right conversations to have? And how do we, like Pat said, get into the as late into the scene as possible and as early exit the scene as possible. So it actually was really, really fun to practice that after we had that conversation.
You know, one other thing that made me think of this is I do a lot of work with ministers and priests, and shorter homilies and sermons are often the best ones. Mm-hmm. And they know that, but they're like, well, I got to give these people their money's worth. I'm going to find a way to stretch it out. It's like, doesn't make it better. So anyway, that's our follow-up to the last episode. Thank you, Bo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cody, so what are we going to talk about today?
Yeah, I love this topic, Pat. So Matt actually named this episode, No Purchase Necessary.
That's right. No purchase necessary. And the point here is we're getting close to Christmas and Hanukkah and gift giving and the holidays. And we think about what we're going to give people. And the most impactful gifts you can ever give people are the ones that don't cost anything. And this gets back to what we talk about in the book. It used to be called The Three Signs of a Miserable Job. We retitled it to be The Truth About Employee Engagement. The most powerful thing a person can have in their job is to be known and appreciated by their manager. And we want to talk about that today, because it is not a purchase, but they'll remember it. We've had great stories about this that we've been talking about just today. Let's do it.
Yeah, immediately when you start to describe that, Pat, I think, oh, that is so true. I remember the words that previous managers and colleagues have said about me. And yet there's something in me that's hesitant to do that for others. And I'm curious if you want to speak to that. What do you think that is in us that makes us think our words won't mean the same to somebody else that another person's words have meant to us?
That's such a great question. Let's just talk about it. I don't know the answer. I can speculate, but why are we embarrassed to tell somebody the most important, wonderful thing to them? My first guess would be, I think we're afraid it might seem inauthentic, which of course is a horrible reason not to do it. Mm-hmm. But I think that maybe somebody is going to feel like, oh, they're going to think I don't really mean it. It's going to come across trite. I know. Mm-hmm. I just won't tell them anything.
Or they maybe think, oh, they already know that, you know, oh, they already know that about themselves. I don't have anything original to say. I'll say for me, and Tracy, I'd love to hear your thoughts to this. I often don't do it because I'm embarrassed that I haven't done it before. I'm like, What were you going to say,
Tracy?
That's
what I was going to say, Bo.
Oh, really?
You stole my line. Yeah, I think that's exactly why we don't do it. I think, you know, too much time goes by. And we think to ourselves, I can't quite possibly do it now. I haven't done it, you know, in the last X number of months or X number of years I've worked with this person. How can I possibly do it now? And I think that's absolutely the wrong mindset to have.
It takes a little bit of vulnerability to actually, you might need to say, I'm sorry I haven't told you this before. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had. And now, in other words, because if you do it and you don't recognize that, then it is going to be awkward. But if you go to somebody and say, I can't believe I've never told you this before, Tracy, but here it is.
You know, Pat, and as we're talking about this, I think another reason, and we alluded to this in one episode that we did where what is assumed is the most important. I think sometimes you're sitting there in that leadership role just thinking, well, they know I appreciate them and they know that they're doing a good job. And we've had meetings where we celebrate wins and all of those things, but it's so different to sit down and intentionally, like in a way where you feel really seen and really known and that you see the contribution and then like in an intentional way, sort of celebrate that. That's very different than the, oh, we had a sales meeting where we rang a bell or we, you know, did something in the hallway that showed people appreciation. It has to be really sincere.
Yeah. It's such a great point that we think they already know. And we often think like, what does it matter if they hear it from me? And yet every CEO, because I've talked to many CEOs about this, I'm like, do you remember when your first manager or manager's manager gave you feedback and told you something about yourself that they really appreciated, made you feel known, made you feel appreciated? And they're like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, how often do you do that with others? And almost to a person, they say, oh, I don't do that very much at all. And they're often really embarrassed. I am too. I mean, I sat down here to do this podcast. I think I'm pretty good at this, but I still don't do it intentionally enough. And I thought, oh man, I'm going to go on a podcast and talk about something that I need to do better myself.
I'm curious, what do you think, this sounds like such a simple question. What do you think are the sorts of things people like to hear about themselves? Because as I'm listening to this, I'm thinking a manager might say, oh yeah, I told them their sales numbers were good enough. Or, you know, I gave them 2 thumbs up on their timeliness on their performance review. What do you think people want to be able to hear?
That's a great question. I think my answer would be nouns, not verbs. They want to hear who you are, what embodies you, and what they appreciate about who you are, not just that they did something for you. I mean, you should be thanking people for doing things for you all the time. But if I'm going to give Cody or Bo or Tracy, the 3 people I'm looking at on the screen, feedback, the kind of thing around Christmas, the kind of gift you want to give is say, this is what I love about who you are. I think that's a big difference.
You know, and here's, I love that question, Bo, but I would actually challenge people to say, hey, listen, don't make the perfect the enemy of the good here. Most people are failing on the side of not saying anything. So even if it has to be something that is not as sincere of like, I know you deeply and here's who I know who you are, any level of like, let's give a shot. Like, go sit down with someone and say, hey, here's what I really appreciate about you. I think sometimes that might be what prevents people of like, is this the right thing to say? But rather than just going out there and not making the perfect the enemy of the good, it has to be sincere. And I think the best version of that is what Pat said is like, here's who you are and how you contribute and what we appreciate about you. But something is better than nothing, you know?
Yeah.
I have 2 other hunches as to why we don't do this, and they come in absolutely just from inside of myself. So the 2 other reasons I don't do this is, number one, I feel uncomfortable with the emotion that might come out. I don't know if you all ever resonate that with like, oh no, what if I can't get out of that conversation, or there's tears, or, you know, there's emotion that would make me uncomfortable. And the second is, oh, I won't be able to fill their bucket. And they have such a, you know, I won't be able to give them everything that they need. So it's tempting to not even lean in at all.
Which makes no sense logically, right? Oh, they're bone dry. I know. I won't pour a little water in there. I should just let it. But I think what you're onto is real.
since we last had this conversation, I actually listened to a great podcast of a leader who's made recognition and appreciation culture like a core principle of what he does in his companies. This guy named David Novak, and he was the CEO of Yum Brands. And the podcast is this guy.
Part of that.
Yeah, Tim Schur. He's got a great podcast called Build a Winning Team. And on that, he's talking to David Novak about this appreciation. Like, where did you want to make this a core part of how you led a company? And he described this really great story, which was he was working at Pepsi and he went to the plant where the distributors go out and like put the product in stores. And he said, hey, I was in a room with like 30 people and I was asking like, hey, who should I go to? Who's the best at, you know, merchandising our product and serving our clients and all that stuff. And three people in a row said, oh, you got to talk to Bob. Bob is the best person at this. And he's like, another person said, hey, every store that Bob's in, we beat Coke all the time, you know? And then somebody else said in 15 minutes of being on Bob's truck, I learned more than my entire onboarding process. And he talked about this story where he said, Bob was actually in that room and he turned to Bob and said, hey, Bob, how does it feel? Bob started crying. And he's like, Bob, all these people are saying this great stuff to you. Why are you crying? And he said, well, I've been here 20 years. I'm retiring in 2 weeks and I never knew how people felt about me. I didn't know how all of these colleagues felt about me. And so that triggered him to say, boy, there's all these employees that are contributing that don't feel known. He made that like a core principle of all the companies that he helped lead. And I think that story is super indicative of like, boy, people on his team, people around him felt a certain way about Bob and never even took the time to say, this is how we see you. This is how you're contributing. And I thought that was like a really powerful way to talk about this.
And you know, maybe the folks around Bob saw that and they thought, oh, we should really find a way to be able to honor him and recognize him. And it goes back to that idea of not making the perfect the enemy of the good, which I think is that a Ben Franklin quote? Cody, one of your favorite presidents, I think. Is he the one who said that? Anyway, to just go do it. Pick up the phone, stop by somebody's desk, and just to be able to say that, you don't have to wait until you can find the plaque or the award or the perfect time in the meeting to just stop by somebody's desk or pick up the phone or send a text message and say, here's something that I see in you and appreciate.
Yeah, I think this is so important. And this whole idea of going, I could have done that and I didn't. You know, I could have taken that moment to do it and I didn't. Now, I think when it comes to Christmas, go ahead and sit down with somebody for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes. What a gift that would be. And say, I just want to sit down, talk to you about what's going on in your life, how are you feeling as we go into the holidays, and tell you what I appreciate about who you are. That 10 minutes is going to be so valuable. And in a time when we're giving people bonuses and sending bottles of wine and lots of food, all of that is wonderful. But take all that away and give a person those 10 minutes of being known and appreciated. That gift will last for so much longer.
Hey, Pat, did we acknowledge that we did a similar episode to this last year at this time?
No, we didn't, darn it. And we talked about it before. Last year, we talked about the gifts we give to our vendors and our partners and the people we work with.
Better than a gift, it was called.
Better than a gift. And we even took the time to call out on that some of our vendors and what we appreciated about them. And some of them called you on Christmas because they listened to it that day and were like, I can't believe you did that. But this is a little different. This is about with your direct reports and the people you work with every day. And it comes from the book, The Three Signs of a Miserable Job, because people are miserable if they don't feel known. Mm-hmm. So send them into the holidays being known, you know, that they're seen and appreciated.
And Pat, one of the quotes in that book that I feel like I see on LinkedIn or social media because it resonates so much with people around this concept is, you said in that book, when leaders fail to tell employees that they're doing a great job, so this appreciation concept, they might as well be taking money out of their pockets and throwing it into a fire. And so like, I love that you just talked about these bonuses, these end of the year bonuses. Like, that's great. That's a transactional way of trying to show someone appreciation. But if you don't have, if you don't take time to verbally affirm the ways that they're contributing, you might as well throw half of that bonus away, because it really is that important to people to be seen and felt appreciated for their contribution, not from a monetary standpoint, but from a their leader who they work for and spend 8 hours of their day with, recognizing and appreciating them.
Yeah.
I have a quick story about this. Somebody did this for me, and then I tried it for a couple of years. I was in college and had an internship, and the person that I was working for actually wrote a letter to my parents saying what it was that I had done really, really well that year. You know, I was a college student, and that like meant a lot to my parents. And so I started this practice of actually writing a letter at the end of the year to each person to just say this to them. And part of that comes from, I'm married to somebody who gets uncomfortable with words of affirmation when they're verbal like this, but can actually digest them when it's in written form and can feel a little less embarrassed. So just thinking about, there's different ways that we can even do this. And I love the idea of sitting down for 10 minutes. I also think it's really a neat idea to take a page from what we used to do, like write somebody a letter documenting what a difference they've made. And they might carry that with them. I actually have a stack right over here on a little desk in my office of all the thank you notes that have meant a lot to me, that those words matter and we carry them with us. Yeah, Pat.
You know, whether we do this verbally or whether we write it down, the main thing is that we take the time to do it. A great friend of mine, he and I worked together at a company. And when he left after 6 years, which was a long time to be at this company right out of college, and they said to him, hey, what could we have done to keep you here longer? And they were notorious for not managing well. And his answer was, anything. Anything would have been good. And so we can sit and go, oh, what should it be? Should it be this or that? Don't let that decision-making keep us from just taking action. You know, whether you want to send up smoke signals or write something or write a song and sing it to them at your Christmas party. I don't suggest that one, but anything would be better than nothing.
Well, I think, Bo, as you're talking about that stack of, you know, thank you letters or whatever, I bet it that the people listening to this, if they're listening to it at their work desk, there's a way bigger percentage of people who can open up one of their work drawers and find a letter that they've kept from a colleague or a boss. Nobody keeps their pay stub for their bonus and they're like, boy, I feel so appreciated. I'm going to frame this and put it on my wall. But there's so many people who, you know, it takes 30 seconds to sit down and write a little heartfelt note, and people keep that. They hang on to it because it's meaningful to them.
Now, I have another thought here. This does not need to be relegated to the people that work for you. This can be your peers. Mm-hmm. And this can be your manager. I think sometimes we forget that a manager hearing an employee say that they've made a difference in their lives, that will be the best present they get all year. And so don't discount that. Now, the reason why we don't do that, because we don't want to look like we're sucking up or we're just saying that. But if you legitimately feel like there's something about who your manager is that you appreciate, please tell them. Please tell them. You're going to be glad you did. They're going to appreciate it. And if it's sincere, they're going to know that. Tracy, I want you to share the story about your son, Harrison, because you talked to us today about this, and I thought this was fantastic.
So it was such a sweet story. He's 23 years old, has his first job out of college, and he called me.
And wait, and he's an engineer, and he's an IT in the working genius. In other words, he is a data and systems guy.
Oh, yeah, science guy through and through. Not touchy-feely, doesn't need a lot from people, you know, to just work hard. But he works for a startup, and they were doing a year-end review. And all 20 of them were in a room together, and they're not together very often. And his manager went around to everyone and noted, gave people feedback, really thoughtful, you know, the noun, not a verb thing was true about this. He went through every single person, and Harrison was emotional with me when he reflected on that. He said, Mom, it was amazing. And he did it in front of all of, you know, the entire company, 20 of them. And the fact that he called to share that with me, I just thought was so cool. And, you know, obviously he works for a startup. He's not going to get any money, but man, that left an impression on him. And I thought that was really neat.
Gosh, it just makes you want to go back and fill in every year in the past when you haven't done that.
I know.
But we can't do that, but we can start doing it now. And it's just one of those simple things that we're almost embarrassed to do this podcast because it's so simple. And yet it is so powerful. All right. Hey, we're going to do a commercial. We're trying to do that, an unpaid ad. And Matthew, you came up with a great idea. Tell us about the commercial we want to do.
Yeah. So I recently made a purchase from a company that some of our consultants consult with called Fresh Clean Threats. It used to be called Fresh Clean Tees. And I'd never heard of it before. It's just, they sell like plain t-shirts, sweaters, sweatshirts, shorts, socks, like just plain quality.
Basics. Solid, yeah, good basics.
So after I made a purchase with them, I got an email from them that I thought just left an impression on me as someone who just randomly purchased something from their company. But the email was not only like funny, and it had a gift from Step Brothers in it, which I thought was great. They had the order details. They had a little disclaimer that was like, holiday order volume is a lot, so please, if it takes a while, like longer than usual to process, like, thanks for your understanding. They broke down like each to the cent, like where the purchase was going. So like county tax, state tax, like they put all of that information in the email. It was super straightforward. They gave a link to where their FAQs, like where we can find things and how to contact customer service. And I have no doubt that if I did need to contact customer service, that I'd get good service just based on this email alone. But yeah, I have no idea about the quality of the material or the product, but just based on this email I got, and they let me stack discount codes, which was pretty cool. Not a lot of websites let you do that, but it seems like they provide a discount code and it seems like they want you to use it. And
they probably want that redacted. Redact that part.
but this gets back to what we talked about. They're trying, and they're really, and they put humor in it. You know, you can tell these people actually care whether you have a good experience, right?
Yeah. And I got that just from the order confirmation email, which is usually just a receipt. And
transactional.
Yeah. Yeah. But they, I thought it was awesome. So
fresh clean threads. Fresh Clean Threads. That's neat. We love to find companies that are doing things like that well. All right. Thanks, Matt. And that brings us to the end of our podcast here. Hey, everybody, go out, and you don't have to purchase something to make a difference in someone's lives. But if you do, go to Fresh Clean Threads. Oh, and since it is the holidays, if you're getting there and you need a gift, a Working Genius assessment or a team assessment is a very fast way to buy something that somebody will appreciate. We feel we should say that, and even though we hate marketing and sales, that kind of stuff. But, you know, it can be a wonderful gift to give somebody around the holidays. All right. Thanks for listening today, everybody. Thanks to the crew. And we will talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.